As you open up to Exodus chapter 20, I'll catch us up on where we are in the story. So God has delivered his people, the Hebrews, from their slavery in Egypt. And he's currently leading them through the wilderness of the Middle East into a land that he has promised them, that it would be abundant, that it would be beautiful, and that it would be, most importantly, their own land. And as they go through the wilderness, God takes some time to have them stop at a place called Mount Sinai, and he takes that time to instruct them, to shape him, to prepare them to be his people in the way that they act, the way that they speak, even the way that they think. And so in the current section of scripture we're in, he gives them what very many of us famously know, the Ten Commandments. And he says, follow them so that your lives are lived in the healthiest, the best, the most appropriate way according to how you were designed to live by me. But also obey these commands so that you would reflect my glory to the people of the world as they encounter you. And today we discover the third commandment, which is observe the Sabbath. And very first we want to ask, what is a Sabbath? A lot of us maybe know that word, but many of us might not. A Sabbath is the Hebrew word for the holy day of rest. And we read right here in Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. So this is a holy day, and the rest part is very obvious from this scripture, but that word holy, we hear it so often, and we've even heard it in the last few weeks, but it's still sometimes hard to remember what it means. Holy means set apart for God's purpose. That means if something is holy, it is distinct, it is different, it is not like the rest of anything. The reason I mention this is because back when the Hebrews were enslaved in Egypt, every day was the same. Can you guess what they did every day? Guess. They worked. Absolutely. Every single day was work because they were slaves. You get 0 days off, no holidays, no rest, no care for you. But the Hebrews, and God is making this very clear as they go on, they do not belong to Egypt anymore. They do not serve Pharaoh. They are not slaves to anyone. They belong to Yahweh, the God of creation, the God of Israel. And living as one of God's people means resting each seventh day of the week. And so that's how it's holy. It is a day that is set apart unlike the rest of the days of the week. It is distinct. And it's easy to understand the, you know, the separate aspect of the holiness, right? But it's sometimes a little difficult to understand the purpose of the Sabbath and how that makes it holy in a whole nother way. That's not always clear to us, but I think that's the reason that keeping the Sabbath might be the most overlooked commandment in all of Scripture. So let's actually get into it. What is the purpose of the Sabbath? It is to rest and to remember things that God calls us to all the time. Specifically, the Sabbath gives us rest for our body, our mind, and our soul. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But for now, we also should know that the Sabbath, by keeping it, it helps us remember that God is our creator, he is our provider, and he is our savior. Rest and remember. Rest and remember constantly. But keeping the Sabbath, it brings a lot of benefits. It's really, really good for us. And I want you to think of the last time that you had a really good day's rest. Maybe it was on vacation. Maybe it was a day that snuck up on you being restful, but you kicked your feet up. You were resting physically, but there wasn't a lot on your mind either. You were just totally being restored. Kind of makes you bummed out you're not living that day right now, right? And it kind of, maybe it feels like, yeah, that maybe was long ago. Maybe it was too long since I've had that feeling. I don't think I have that feeling enough, and you're probably right. We know innately, we know naturally that we should rest, that rest is good, that we need it. It's obvious. But here's some specific reasons why rest is so good for us, especially Sabbath rest. First, and this is the most obvious one, but I do need to say it, is that when we rest, we obey God's word. We don't need any reasons. We don't need any benefits. We don't need to paint rest as some sort of a life hack to get us to do it. If God says you should do it, then you should do it. There is no option about it. And we want to remember that not observing the Sabbath is a sin. It is a violation of God's commands. So, yes, there is the you have to do it, but it also just happens that there are an incredible amount of benefits from it. Our second benefit is that as we rest, we imitate God and how he is. In verse 11, he says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy." Now, what's odd about this is that as much as we need rest, God does not need rest. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't wear out. There's nothing like that in God's nature. And still, he did. But God didn't rest so that he could recover. God rested because he saw, he knew, that all of the creation that he had made was not just good, it was very good, it was perfect, it was delightful, it was exactly what it should have been. And so God set apart this holy day on which he just enjoyed the creation that he had made as he ruled over it. Absolutely incredible. Now, many don't realize this, even many Christians, but when God made mankind, he didn't just make us as his plaything or like ants in an ant farm. He actually gave us a very special privilege, and he says to Adam and Eve that he gave them dominion over all of creation and everything that lives on the earth and the ground, in the sea and in the skies above. And what that means is that God, as he created mankind, he invited us to co-rule over all of this beautiful creation with him, to shepherd it and steward it, to enjoy it the same as he does. And that includes invitation to rest, to enjoy, to just be in the glory of what God has done. Other than that, having a dedicated day of rest, it is the natural rhythm for us. It seems like today we are very, very removed from anything that even resembles a natural rhythm. Whether it's our work schedules, whether it's having, and I don't mean to sound crazy, but like light bulbs, right? We don't go to sleep when it's dark anymore. We stay awake. Our circadian rhythms are off. But not only that, it's our rhythm of, you know, social interactions and community. It's our rhythm of work and rest. We're all off when it comes to our rhythms, and it's very, very apparent. I don't think anybody's going to debate me on that. But there is a very specific rhythm that God has created for us as it comes to working and resting. In the same way that we need to sleep every night or drink water every few hours, we need rest every single week. And that rhythm, it's something that we can look at and say, oh, that is nice, that's cute. Yes, in an ideal world, sure, but who's got time for that rhythm? But in reality, just like sleep, just like water and food, this rhythm needs to be deeply respected. Otherwise, there are tangible consequences for our lives. If we don't rest, we end up hurting ourselves. We've all been there. We've all been overworked or overworked ourselves too much. We've all been stretched too thin, and we've realized that nobody can work indefinitely. Nobody can give, peak output all of the time. it wears us down. It's not good for us, and we burn out, we get tired, we get injured in body and mind and soul. And the more that happens to us, the thinner we're stretched, we also find that as we get more tired, we become less patient and less kind. We listen less. Our tempers are shorter. We make more mistakes. Working too much, it just upsets that natural rhythm. And being overworked, it starts to gnaw away at our humanity. We are off balance. We're off base. And nothing about us then is what it's supposed to be after a while. And at first, we've all done this. We can hide it well enough. But eventually, things start to fall apart. Things start to slip. Things start to crumble and hurt and drift apart. Our health, our relationships, our character, our faith, all of these suffer if we do not rest properly. And after a long time of being out of rhythm, which a lot of us frankly are, it can be really hard to get back into the proper rhythm. The more off balance, the more things are swinging and tipsy, and the more difficult it feels to pull in. We start to feel guilty about not working extra. We start to feel lazy if we're not tired. It's all off skew. One of the other detriments of not resting properly is that we're not actively trusting God to take care of us and provide for us. People usually work an extra day because it means more hours, and more hours means more money. More money means you can afford the apartment or the house that you're in or your groceries, or you can save a little more to make sure that you have extra and have that security of all my needs have been met. But God has actually invited us to trust Him. He has commanded us to trust Him, that He will provide everything that we need in this life, whether it is food, clothing, shelter, money, anything. It's very easy throughout our lives to think that because we work and we have the paycheck written out in our names, that we are the ones who provide for ourselves and for our families. And if we take a day or two off, the feeling might creep in that we're not doing enough to provide, that we're not maxing it out all the way, or that we even fool ourselves into thinking that if we just did more, then we could actually fulfill that role in providing. But make no mistake, God is the one who provides, always, whether you're working that day or you're not working that day, whether your paychecks are small or they are great. God is the one who is providing in more ways than you ever know and in ways that are sufficient for you in this season. So we should trust God to provide enough for us, even if we're not working every day of the week. And Jesus actually has to weigh in on this. He sees His disciples worrying. He sees the people around them worrying and working and all this. And here's what He says in their anxiety. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious? About clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet, I tell you, even King Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Resting on the Sabbath is an act of faith. It is an act of trust. It is an act of surrender to God that is appropriate. Absolutely. Now, the Sabbath, it's not just about our physical rest. It's not just about us and our bodies, but it's about our relationship with God as well. The Sabbath, it requires us, again, to trust God to provide. And God gave an example of this just earlier in the book of Exodus. They were in the wilderness. They had no food. They were shouting, "Why did you lead us out here? Everything is bad." And God sent down this substance called manna. And every morning there would be new manna for them to collect and to eat and to have. But he says, each day, do not collect more than I tell you. And on one day, you're going to take a rest from collecting. The day before, you'll gather double. And it won't spoil. It won't go bad. Everyone will have enough. Just trust me. In the same way, he tells them this as they get into the promised land. He tells us the same thing. God provides enough for us to trust him. And even though trust is difficult and faith is difficult, it's necessary. It breaks down the illusion that we are in control. And so every week, again, we have an invitation to depend on God, to count on him, and to trust him with our whole lives. And if we don't observe the Sabbath, the longer we don't, the more we think that it's all up to us. Second, the Sabbath invites us to draw close to God and to be restored by him. So more than just doing nothing, the Sabbath gives us an opportunity to be close to God through spending time in Scripture, through prayer, because this is a day of not working. We can set that aside and all the worries and the tasks that we usually have and just spend that as a time with God that we so desperately need. And this can be on a dedicated day, but this can be any time. Martin Luther, I always remember this, but he famously said, "I have so much to do today. I am so overwhelmingly busy that the first thing I need to do is spend 3 hours of the day in prayer with God." Sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? You could use that time to chip away at tasks and do and chores and all of that. But if you just spend that time to connect with God, to trust in him, to ask him, to rely on him, if you seek him first, all other things will be worked out. He promises. Next, we rest as we remember God's salvation. And the Sabbath is this unique day that reaches back but also looks forward. It is a remembering of God's past, present, and future deliverance for his people. Now, of course, the Sabbath is a reminder of how God has delivered the Hebrews out of their slavery in Egypt. And so each day that they rest, they remember, "Oh yeah, I don't work today because I serve God. I belong to God. I'm not under slavery anymore." And so God says, as he begins these commandments every week, God spoke all these words saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Keep the Sabbath." We will also remember that today, the Sabbath gives us a time to remember the salvation that we have in Jesus, the salvation that was only foreshadowed by the Exodus out of Egypt. And we realize that that salvation has already been won for us on the cross through his death and resurrection. And so because of Jesus, each time we rest, we are reminded that we are no longer slaves either. We are not slaves to sin. We are not children of the devil. We are not bound to the ways of this world and our own sinful flesh anymore. Every time we observe the Sabbath, we remember, that's right, I belong to God because of Christ Jesus, and I can rest in that. Jesus tells us, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that is rest for our body, our mind, and our souls. But we look forward as God's people, not only back on the Sabbath, not only now to the redemption that we have in Jesus, but we look forward to the last day when Jesus comes back and he promises us that when that day comes, he will restore us, he will restore this world, and we will enter a final rest, a perfect rest, an enduring rest with him. And so we look forward to that final seventh day Sabbath rest. And we confidently look forward to that. And this is what we just read in our Hebrew scripture as well. "For if Joshua had given the people of Israel rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. a rest that's still coming for us, a full rest. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, remember, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, right? Don't give up the faith. Don't give up his word. Don't give up your identity as children, so that no one may fall away by the same sort of disobedience. And so the author of Hebrews is telling us, there is a rest that is to come. Don't give up now. Don't get lost in the here and now. Strive, keep the faith, worship God, and rest in what is coming. Right? So, as you can see, there are many, many, many benefits of the Sabbath, many good reasons to keep it, but the big question is then, with all the benefits, why have we become so comfortable in dismissing that command of God by just ignoring it? You see, back in Egypt, the problem was that Pharaoh wanted more and more and more and more. That's why he drove the slaves so hard. More harvest, more buildings, more monuments, more cities, more everything, because he wanted success and prosperity. He wanted a legacy. And so one person's need for those ruined the lives of hundreds of thousands of enslaved people. And so it's clear to see why we hate Pharaoh, right? We have a special type of disdain for him as we go through the story of the Exodus. But Pharaoh is gone now. So what's the reason for your lack of rest, for your lack of trust and faith, for your lack of connecting with God, for your lack of a Sabbath, and mine too, to be frank? The Pharaoh has been replaced, right? He's been replaced by companies who need margins to grow, who need profits to skyrocket, who need somebody to be happy about how they're growing. Pharaoh's been replaced by social expectations to hustle hard, to work hard enough, to get that extra job, to get the grind set mindset, to be ambitious enough. Pharaoh's been replaced by our own personal ambitions to succeed, to have a legacy, to achieve something. Pharaoh's been replaced by our own anxieties and fears that we won't have enough and that we won't be provided for. All of these and a few more have taken Pharaoh's place to ruthlessly overwork us. But none of them, whether it is a company or an anxiety or an ambition, none of these have the authority to overrule God's command for us to rest. Like I said, we can hide being ignored for a little bit, right? But it's kind of like a knee injury. You can notice that, hurts a little bit. And you can start to compensate and put weight somewhere else. But after a while, pain's not going away. It's getting worse. But because you're compensating, well, guess what? Now your hip hurts. And you can compensate a little more, but after a while, guess what? Now your back hurts as well. And it only gets worse and worse. And if you don't rest, it's not going to get better. But, like I said, the more you try to keep it up and work through everything, the harder it's going to be to bounce back into that rhythm of normal work and rest. Or if we're thinking about our knee still, of a normal way of walking, a rhythm, our gait. Now, some of you really need to hear this today. So I want you to listen really, really closely. You have God's permission to rest. You don't owe anyone 7 days of work. You don't need anyone else's permission to take that rest. Not your employer, not your family, not your coaches or teachers. You don't even need your own permission to rest. God's permission is enough. But I don't want to paint this in a way that's saying, well, God's given you permission, so if that sounds good to you, it's more than permission. Remember, God has commanded you to rest, so you don't have a choice. Permission and command, both of them are good for us. But not resting will only hurt you, and it'll only hurt those around you. It'll only hurt your relationship with God. So we know the benefits, we know the drawbacks. I want to take a few minutes just to take us through how can we actually practice the Sabbath. And the first way in which we can do that is by resting our bodies. Yeah? Rest your body. Do something that will give your body rest. If you work a physical job, kick your feet up, stretch, relax. Don't do anything physical. Now, if you work at a desk, is it a good idea to sit around that seventh day and do more nothing? I mean, probably not. What's going to be restful for your body is to go and move, maybe walk, exercise, get things back into balance. It looks different for anybody. But you don't have to do nothing either on the Sabbath. Just make sure that what you are doing is actually restful. And if that's sitting in your recliner or watching a movie or hiking or playing pickleball or fishing, that's fine. You know what gives your body rest. Do that thing without choosing something that just adds more load to your body. Okay? The day of rest, though, it doesn't mean only resting from your 9 to 5 or your official job, right? It's not right to work 6 days a week and then on the seventh day go, well, I'm not working so I can finally replace that roof. No, don't do that. Don't add more work. Don't use that day to catch up on 25 chores. I know we all do it. This is a day to rest, so actually rest in every way, okay? Second, rest your mind. Now, we all have issues in our lives, and we all think that these are really big issues. Sometimes they are. But have you ever had one of those moments where you're so in the weeds about this little thing that's going on at home or at work, and I could save $50 on my insurance policy, but I got to find the documents, but I got to do this, and I'm going nuts. And then all of a sudden, you get a phone call that somebody else is sick, that there was an accident, and you go, you drop it immediately, and it helps you to realize this is not important. This can wait. There are much more important things going on. Well, the same happens with the Sabbath. We think our problems are so big, so monumental, so I have to get this done here and now, urgent, but the Sabbath forces us and gives us an opportunity to reevaluate the urgency of our lives, where we have to say, can this wait until the next day? And the answer is always yes. It interrupts that loop of constantly having to fix or solve or predict something. And on this day, you can set your mind at ease, and you can actually trust that God is going to keep the world spinning on its axis, even if you're not freaking out about it. And He'll pull it off. He always does. Your issues, don't worry, will still be waiting for you on Monday, right? And I say that kind of jokingly, but they probably will seem a lot smaller than they did on Friday and on Saturday. It's okay to rest from them. Now, when it comes to resting your mind, I know everyone is different, but I've noticed for myself and for some others that our phones, our social media, the news, they keep our minds from resting. And I'm not saying that you have to cut things out totally. I'm not saying you have to cut anything out ever. But one thing that's really helped for me and a few people that I've been talking through over the years is that we've realized that being constantly connected, being constantly made aware of everything, and constantly feeling the need to record and show off and compare ourselves is not restful to our minds. And we can't do it all the time. So this might seem scandalous, but you are allowed to put your phone away for a day. You're allowed to, I know, you are allowed to turn off the news for a day. You're allowed to ignore and not post anything on social media. And I'm not telling you to bury your heads in the sand, but you are allowed and commanded to take a day where you retreat and rest. You're allowed to do that, even your mind. So do that. Finally, rest your souls. If you want to truly rest in your souls, which is the most important kind of rest, go to church. Be in worship. If you want true rest, the greatest rest that we could ever have is rest from our need to earn our own salvation. The entire rest of the world works tirelessly to appease a person or a deity or an idol or themselves, to try to prove and earn and do enough so that they would be seen as righteous and have salvation and life. This is not our God. Jesus Christ has already earned our salvation. He was already obedient in our place. He has suffered on our behalf. He has achieved salvation for us, and we just rest in the ability that we couldn't earn it and that we never needed to. Everything is done for us. So we rest as we worship God for the salvation we have. As we worship, we are restored in the forgiveness that we receive from God. We are renewed by His Word. We are refreshed in the community that He has given us, and there's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing like it in the week. Now, usually we think of Sundays, right? Sunday is our last day of the week. It's before we have to go into work. And so many of us get into the habit of thinking, okay, Sunday is tomorrow, and once I get done with church and I get home, I can really start to relax and take the day off and rest. But I want to encourage you so strongly, stop thinking about it like that. Start thinking about your perfect, whole Sabbath rest as beginning when you enter worship on Sunday morning, not afterwards. So, the Sabbath is there for us to rest and to remember, to rest in mind and body and soul, and to remember that God alone is our Savior. And in all of that, we do start to see the benefits. So I want to encourage you as you go out today, remember to rest each and every single week for your sake and for the glory of God, and with the confidence and the trust that God is taking care of everything else as you take the rest that He has earned for you. And this is our word from God for today.